5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Right, we have a belated tribute to the late, great David Bowie. Two guests who can be described as the young dudes. Dave Harris is consultant for Invertrust Consultancy, and Bill Hubbard, a financial guru and TV legend.
Exactly right, in my own mind.
Right, okay, well, Dave, you've decided to alienate everybody who's watching the show by giving us your musing and thoughts from a Barbados beach.
Yes, yes.
Did you see while you were there, did you see that guy from the Environmental Agency?
No.
Because he was over there.
Oh yeah. Oh, sorry. No. He was already back dealing with the floods by the time that
Dealing.
That
what
I
did
went.
He do?
Well, he resigned.
A bucket and spade.
No, resigned.
That was a shame.
Came back up.
I went back to his mansion.
$100,000 for 3 days a week. I mean, I think that wasn't.
I wouldn't get out of bed for that, would you?
No, I don't think anybody would really. Right. And then.
No, but my musings though. I mean. I've been away for about a month, and you have to say that when you're sitting, and I've deliberately said musings from a beach in Barbados, well, but when you're actually sitting away from all of this and you're watching commentators, you're reading newspapers, you're reading online reviews, you do sometimes wonder whether the world is just running around like headless chickens, because you read something one day, the market moves 3 points, and the next day you read something diametrically opposite to that. And I became increasingly concerned that there are viewers and there are listeners and there are readers of these who are relying and making their investment decisions on these.
If I can interrupt, okay, this goes back about 12 or 13 years ago when I was at that other station that starts with a B. And all of a sudden, on a Friday, I got a very long commodity report, okay? It was close to 100 pages, okay? No. On Monday, the person who wrote it called me and said, what did you think about it? I said, all I can say, it was the most brilliant thing that I've ever read. He said, yeah, why? I said, I've had insomnia. After reading the introduction, it put me to sleep immediately. And I said, it justifies my feeling that you economists get paid by the word, not by the validity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Dave. So, I'd just like to get into. I mean, because you got a lot of points here that you brought in. China. Can we just mention those points?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's front and central of most economic discussion now, and you've got people like Soros saying there's going to be a hard landing. Well, that's great, but my argument to that would be it's what I would call a known unknown. We don't know if it's going to be a hard landing or not, but we know something's going to happen.
Every bubble ends in a hard landing.
Well, maybe, but it's going to be...
Apart from the UK housing market, which will never...
But if you will accept my opinion on this, please, Zach, rather than yours...
I'm too scared not to.
Then, yeah, look, a known unknown. I'm not saying that there isn't going to be more problems. I'm not saying it's not a serious issue that will drive markets lower. But I think it's more likely just to add to slower global growth, and that there will be a market readjustment, because there's already been a huge market readjustment.
You say in your missive here that they do have trillions of cash.
Yeah.
So they can deflate their bubbles slowly.
They can indeed, but they also need the luck that all countries and economies need to enable that to go in a sensible manner.
The point that you just said, okay, remember China is the second largest owner of U.S. Treasuries, okay?
Yep.
And as we've seen, we were talking earlier, okay? The best investment since the 3rd of January would have been buying the Treasury 5-year, okay? It's dropped 50 basis points. You've gotten 5.1% return. So if China needs any more money, they've got a few Treasuries that they could
sell. Yeah, but wouldn't that raise interest rates if they started dumping Treasuries?
Yeah, but we're talking from the lowest level imaginable, okay?
Yeah. So you would get a rise.
Okay, so on oil.
Well, look, we all know that normally you get these falls in prices of oil as economies head into recession. As far as I can judge, there's actually been no fall in global demand for oil. What there is, it's the supply side. I mean, every country is just pumping and pumping, but those that are pumping from the OPEC side of life are neglecting to work out that the world is awash with cheap energy at the moment, yeah, from the USA and other areas.
Desperate for cash.
Yep. It is.
Look at Russia, okay?
70% of Russian GDP reliant on oil. I think I've got the figure right when I say 55% of sub-equator Africa reliant on oil. Now, that's not going to go away, and that's not going to change. And I can see no reason at all to support the theory that I read this week from BP's chairman that oil will move back up again.
He was just trying to cheer us up.
Yeah. Well, sure, he
talking
was.
His
well,
own
well, good old Mr. Dudley, if he wants to do that. But I mean, there will be spikes. We saw a spike last week when it was suggested that maybe Saudi and Russia were going to cut back on oil production. But of course, when that faded away, then
it was quite interesting, as you said. But that was on a Friday, so positions. Everybody wanted to make sure their positions were covered over the weekend in case it did happen.
You're as cynical about this, Bill, as I am. But conclusions then that I come to with all of this, Russia and China. Look, generally oil prices will be good for the global economy. It puts more money into your pocket, my pocket, as a consumer, which is great. It's harder for central banks to meet their inflation targets when we got this happening. For an investor's point of view, the biggest problem is that energy stocks are a disproportionate amount of any major index that you look at. And so it's going to be hard for your ordinary investor to actually make money in that way in the next 12 months, in my view. I also think that you've got to be prepared and be working on the fact that the average oil price will probably remain round about the $50 mark. Maybe for 5, maybe for 10 years. I can't see anything in the crystal ball that's saying that's likely to change quickly.
Well, Dave Harris with your crystal ball, CEO of the Invertrust Consultancy. Thanks for coming in today.
Pleasure.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.